was getting a bargain when I bought this fur coat. Just look at it, and I've only been wearing it a month. Do I have to go on paying for it? Hello? Hello?
Hello, sucker.
Business people are honest and fair with the public, almost 100%. But there is a small minority which preys on the unsuspecting public through petty schemes and rackets. Although these rackets are continually exposed and their perpetrators prosecuted, many continue year after year, with new ones being concocted and old ones revived with a new slant. Station WMAQ is presenting Hello, Sucker, in cooperation with the Better Business Bureau of Chicago, to help you recognize some of the schemes and rackets now making the rounds in Chicago. Don't let the expression, hello, sucker, refer to you. Protect yourself. Listen to Chapter 2, The Fur Coat of Your Dreams, on Hello, Sucker.
Nearly all furriers are honest men who let their artistic dreams, executed in furs, speak for themselves. But some few see only the money to be made by unloading inferior merchandise on every woman who can be fooled or cajoled into thinking she's getting more than she's paying for, an unusual bargain. Suppose you receive a card in the mail, we'll say from a firm called Bargain Furs, offering you, among a select few, an opportunity to buy a very slightly used fur coat for $100. Well, Sally Bond received such a card. And now, for a half hour or so, she and her friend, Mrs. Jack Chandler, have been examining the slightly used coat.
We should have known this was a gift, Nora.
I thought maybe I'd be able to pick up something, too, Sally. I need a coat so badly.
Imagine anyone buying one of these ratty old things. Slightly worn, my eye.
They all look like they've been worn at least 4 years, don't they?
Let's get out of here, Nora. I don't like this place. Where's that sales girl?
Shh, she's coming. I thought maybe you girls would like to look at some of our newer models. I can't say I blame you for not liking those other ones. A good many of them are last year's style.
Last year?
So I thought I'd bring you some of our newer coats. A little higher priced, of course, so you could have a look at them.
No, thank you. We're just leaving. I've got to get back to work. I'm only on my lunch hour. Come on, Nora. Little rat hole shop, anyway. I might have known that postcard was nothing but a come on.
Wonder what those newer coats were like.
Anybody with nerve enough to ask $100 for those we saw, they'd probably try to dip you on newer ones, too.
They were pretty bad.
Press the elevator button, will you, Nora?
Mm-hmm.
No more of this little hole-in-the-wall stuff for me. I'm going to one of the big stores and buy myself a fur coat and stop fooling around.
Oh, I wish I could do that. But I guess we couldn't afford one of those expensive coats.
Earning your own money's got its points. Oh, but then, you don't have to hurry back to any old office after your hour for lunch either, Mrs. Chandler.
The direct mail offer of a fur coat bargain is something to beware of, unless you well know the dealer's reputation to be spotless. This time, by a fluke, the end of Sally Bond's lunch hour, two girls missed being taken in. For excess profits on higher-priced, newer-looking coats of the same inferior quality, like those the sales girl was about to show them, are the real racket of the unscrupulous, slightly used dealers. But there are many other ways of deceiving the consumer, and one of the fanciest is untruthful advertising.
Finest, lustrous, black-dyed Persian lamp. This beautiful coat will sell next winter for at least $700. But you can buy it now in Kepler's August Fur Sale for only $499. Ask yourself, where can I make mammoth savings when I buy my new fur coat? Where can I always be sure of getting more for my money?
Just look at that beautiful coat.
You know the answer. At Kepler's, of course, in the $1 million August fur sale.
Reach over there and turn it off, baby.
Oh, Jack.
The beauty of natural Canadian wild makes soft and luxurious.
Well, if you want, I guess I'll have to.
But, honey, why'd you turn the television off?
To keep peace in the family.
Peace in... Oh, but those coats were so pretty.
Didn't you hear what that guy was saying? Every woman, not just the wealthy, can afford a mink coat. Well, have you believe in it?
Oh, I know we couldn't afford a mink coat, silly.
See? You're already believing that we can afford some kind of a fur coat. But we can't, baby. You know we can't. Not this year.
Sally's got one.
Uh-huh. I knew there was something.
And, honey, I've been seeing some of the most wonderful values advertised. Let me show you.
Nora, baby, be sensible, will you? Doesn't matter what kind of value.
Look at this ad about Kepler's August 1st sale in this morning's paper. Look, right there, at that list of prices.
But, honey, even at half price...
It says you can get a $700 Persian lamb coat for $4.99.
But, baby, we haven't got $4.99.
I know how I can get it.
Now, Nora, when we got married, you promised me you wouldn't ever get mixed up with any outside job.
But I can earn it at home.
Doing what?
Selling magazine subscriptions. I could save up the money I make, and then, when I see wonderful fur coat values like these, I could do something about it. Not just look at them and wish.
It's easy to be deceived by alluring advertisements that tell you fur coats are being offered at far less than their real values. But value is an ambiguous word, often used by the unethical fur dealer to make you think you are buying quality that you do not pay for. Beware of those impressive-looking columns that list comparative prices, for they're commonly used by the fur advertiser to mislead you. Depend on this. In furs, you pay for the quality you buy. There is no other way. Another trick of the sucker bait furrier is the merchandise certificate. Let's see how this one eventually got around to Nora.
Hello?
Is this Mrs. Chandler? Mrs. John M. Chandler of 3254 South Arroway?
Why, yes.
This is the Kepler telephone quiz, Mrs. Chandler, and you have an opportunity now to answer our question for today. If you can answer it, you can win a valuable prize.
Prize?
A $50 prize, Mrs. Chandler. It's a very easy question, and you may get $50 worth of credit at the Kepler Fur Company that you can use on the purchase of a fur coat, a fur jacket.
Fur coat?
Yes, Mrs. Chandler, a fur coat or a fur jacket or a fur scarf. Just by answering our telephone quiz question.
Oh, my.
Absolutely no strings, madam. You answer the question, and you win a $50 prize absolutely free.
Well, what's the question?
Our question for today is, what was the army title of General Ulysses S. Grant?
Let me see now. The army title... Oh, you mean General?
Congratulations. Congratulations from Kepler's, Mrs. Chandler. You have just earned yourself a $50 certificate.
Hi, I won $50?
Which you can redeem at Kepler Fur Company by applying it on a beautiful fur coat like the one you've always dreamed about. Or a fur scarf or a fur jacket. Just imagine, a fine fur coat. You've really done a good day's work, Mrs. Chandler.
Oh.
It isn't every day you win an opportunity like this, madam. Your certificate will arrive by mail in a few days. Congratulations, and thank you for taking part in our telephone quiz.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure, I'm sure. Oh, he hung up. Well, he certainly was in a hurry. Oh, imagine, a $50 prize. I better call Jack and tell him about it. No, I better wait to tell him until I get that certificate.
After this, the sucker bait ads beckon alluringly to Nora again. The Kepler television commercials never seem more glamorous. And Nora never doubts that the beautiful coats she sees on the TV screen are the same ones as those mentioned in the commercial continuity. But then, Nora is innocent about the practices of the misleading advertiser, who may talk cheap prices, but who illustrates the talk with expensive, well-made furs that will lure her into his store. You think the furs he'll show her are the furs he'll sell her at the prices he talks about? Well, Nora wishes that he would, so much that she believes he will. She's persuaded that a magic prize certificate is going to give her $50 worth of merchandise that she'll not pay for. Of course, she doesn't want to buy a coat without Jack's consent, so a few days later, after the merchandise certificate really arrives...
There. That's all of this dishwashing chore for tonight.
Hope.
Thank you for drying them, honey.
You're welcome, baby. Well, I think I'll go see what Pogo and Little Abner are up to.
Oh, wait till I get this hand lotion on, honey.
I gotta look at Pogo, baby.
And now, Jack, don't get buried in that old newspaper yet.
I haven't seen Pogo, baby.
I don't care. He'll keep. I want to talk to you about something.
All right. Gosh, baby, what are you all steamed up about all of a sudden?
Oh, I'm not all steamed up. This is just kind of important to me.
Okay, baby, go on.
You don't really care if I get my new fur coat now, do you?
Oh, now, Nora, you know what we agreed. You want to save up that money you make and spend it on a fur coat? That's all right with me. When you get the money saved up.
But, Jack, honey, I want a new coat this winter, not next winter sometime. I need it now.
Yeah, well, when you get the money saved up.
Honey, don't you see? I could pay for a new coat while I'm wearing it, with the money I make on my magazine subscription.
Yeah, and pay a lot of interest and carrying charges, too. Look what we're having to pay for using our furniture while we're paying for it.
Oh, 6%. Whew, what's a measly little old 6%?
Hmm. Runs into money.
And look how nice it is to be using our furniture. I'd rather pay the silly old 6% and get some pleasure out of wearing a fur coat now instead of thinking about how nice it's going to be next winter.
Look, baby, how much you got in that strong box of yours saved up?
Nearly $100. Well, almost. $94.32. And I've also got another $50.
Where?
In my strong box on the desk. Hand it to me and I'll show you.
Okay. Here's your box.
Here. See?
What's that?
A certificate.
Well, let me look at it. Mrs. John M. Chandler is entitled to a discount of $50 on the purchase of any fur coat, jacket, or scarf. Total discount not to exceed $50. Kepler Fur Company. Hey, where'd you get this, baby?
Oh, it's a prize I won on a telephone quiz.
You won a prize on a quiz program? Which one?
Well, they didn't say what program. It was on the telephone the other day. They asked me a question, and I just answered it, and I won.
Smarty, huh? And you didn't tell me.
I didn't want to say anything till I found out whether it was real or not. But this certificate came in the mail today, so now I know it was.
So this is what this argument about buying a fur coat now is all about. Well, baby, why didn't you say you won $50?
You see? But it says I can use it for any fur coat.
Yeah, that's what it says, all right.
Oh, but I've got to use it in the next couple of weeks, or it isn't any good. It expires on that date down there in the left-hand corner. You see?
But
I didn't want to go ahead and use it without your saying it was all right. Oh, honey, you do think it's all right, don't you?
Well, it seems like a kind of a shame to pass up $50 worth of stuff that somebody just drops in your lap.
And if I add this $50 discount onto that $94 I've already got saved up...
Well, that'd make quite a hunk of down payment, I guess.
So I'd have just that much less to pay in payments. Honey, I can make enough month by month from the magazine.
Are you sure you can, baby?
Sure, I'm sure. Oh, Jack, honey, you don't know what this means to me.
Nora, you know I want you to be happy.
Thank you, honey.
But, baby.
Yes?
Next time you're going to load the dice in a family argument, drop me a hint beforehand, will you?
Jack Chandler, who would just as soon have all the money in the world to spend on his pretty Nora, Jack Chandler can't say no either to what looks like $50 worth of something for nothing. So now, with her husband's caution overridden, Nora managed to ask Sally very casually if she'd like to go along on the buying expedition. She couldn't quite tell whether Sally sounded, disappointed to hear that Nora was about to get her fur coat now? Oh, well, right now they're at Kepler's. They've been looking at fur coats for quite some time, and Nora has just about fallen in love with a black Persian lamb coat. At least, that's what the sales lady says it is.
You look simply exquisite in that coat, dearie. I always think black is so becoming to a fair complexion like yours.
Oh, thank you.
Turn around there a little so you can see in the mirror how pretty it hangs in the back. Now, isn't that simply exquisite? Look at that style.
So pretty. How do you like it, Sally?
Well, for the money...
For the money, miss, you won't go wrong with this coat. Why, this coat is really a $600 value, and it's marked down, end of the season, you know.
Well, I like that last one better, Nora, the one just before this. Oh, but, Sally, that was way out of my reach. I couldn't afford that, even with my certificate.
Well, this one's almost as pretty.
How much did you say this one is? I can't make any sense out of this price tag.
Of course you can't, dearie. We marked them in the code. Let me look at it. You have a merchandise certificate, you said?
Mm-hmm. It's for $50.
All righty. $50 from... Oh, and what down payment could you make besides that, miss?
$94.
Mm-hmm. $94 from the... And, of course, there's the carry charge and the insurance and the federal tax and the state tax. Oh, I'll have to figure it all out with the pencil, miss. But it'll be under $500. I'll tell you that.
All right. The price of a fur coat seems to be awfully complicated.
Certainly is. Many things to be figured in nowadays. So you think you'd like to decide on this one, then?
Well, I'd like to think about it for a minute. Why don't you get a pencil? I'd kind of like to know how much under 500.
Why, of course, dearie. I'll let you two talk it over. And when you've decided, you just sit right over there to the desk, and I'll have it all figured out for you.
Oh, isn't this dreamy?
Well, if you'd just stop preening yourself in front of that mirror for a minute.
Why, Sally Bond.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
I just feel it, Sally. It feels so lovely.
Yes, it does. It's a pretty coat, Nora. A real pretty coat.
And I feel so lovely in it. Imagine me wearing a Persian lamb coat. My very own.
Nora didn't pay much attention to the contract she put her name to in Kepler's store that day. Oh, she knew she was agreeing to pay $26.99 every month for the next 18 months. But I doubt if she even realized that 18 months stretches out for a year and a half. She was too excited to examine the itemized statement of charges before putting it away in her strongbox. If she had, she might have noticed a jarring discrepancy. Her sales ticket reads, one Persian lamb, black dyed fur coat. But her insurance policy reads, one black-dyed, assembled lamb coat. There's quite a bit of difference, you know. However, Nora doesn't. She's far too busy thinking of new places where she can be seen in her glamorous new furs. And she's too happy basking in the warm glow of everyone's admiration wherever she wears them. And this goes on for almost a month. Until one Sunday, as Jack and Nora are going out.
Let's get going, baby. I'll get your coat for you. Hey, baby, is the lining in your new coat coming out or something?
Why, not that I know of. Why?
It looks to me like it's coming out. I almost got my hand caught in that gap between the lining and the collar.
Let me see. No, the lining's not coming out, Jack. But just look. Look how far it is between those stitches.
Gosh, it's 4 inches at least. No wonder my hand did a disappearing act.
Well, I can't see how. Jack, look. The stitches are like that all the way around the edges. Why, this lining isn't put in even half decently.
Well, how come you never noticed that before, baby?
Oh, I must have been in a trance or something.
Well, I'll say you were.
Come on over here at the light, Jack. I want to look at the inside of the whole coat.
Say, isn't that a hole?
Where?
Under the sleeve, right there. It looks like a hole to me.
Oh, yes, sir. And between the armholes there in the back. Those little rips are awful close together, it seems to me. Hold it up to the light so I can see down in there under the lining.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, like that, thanks. Well, that's funny. As far as I can see, this whole coat is little tiny pieces of fur.
Is that bad?
Jack, something's wrong somewhere. I thought Persian lamb came in big pieces. You know, like the skin of a lamb.
I'm beginning to think you're the one that got skinned, baby.
Oh, dear, it looks so pretty. What'll I do?
Do? You'll march yourself down to that gyp merchant first thing tomorrow. You tell them you aren't going to make a single payment on this coat till they make all this stuff good. That's what you do.
For the victim of misrepresentation in Illinois. Is it that simple? Well, here's what Nora finds out next day. The man at the fur company points out to her that despite the sales ticket, her insurance policy and her sales contract read assembled Persian lamb. And therefore, she should have known that's what she was buying. He says that she's agreed to a binding contract to pay for her coat, and pay for it is what she's expected to do. And moreover, if she fails in her contractual obligation, the finance company will have to take appropriate steps. You see, a finance company now owns Nora's sales contract. And, if necessary, it may attach her husband's wages to the full extent of the indebtedness. And do you think this makes Nora any happier? Well, her dismay was great enough during the interview with the man at the fur company. But now, in the evening, after she has told Jack about all this...
But, Jack, honey, I didn't know I was agreeing to all that. All I did was just sign my name.
I bet you didn't bother to read all that stuff.
Oh, no, I guess I didn't. I was so excited.
Oh, baby, how could you?
I didn't know.
Have you still got that contract?
No, anybody could be as mean as all that. Yeah, in my strong box.
I want to see what else they can do to it. What's this, this itemized stuff? Is it about the coat, too?
Well, I guess so. Look at it and see.
Gosh, baby. You know what's on this itemized statement?
Well,
it's a story of how you got gypped on a fur coat. All laid out, nice and neat. Plus, the total price they quoted to you, with the taxes added in, was $481.90. And then you paid $94 down, and they gave you a $50 discount on that darn merchandise certificate.
Oh, I wish I never won that silly old thing.
Yeah, yeah, I know, baby, but you did. Now, listen, there's something awful wrong here. Even after they allowed you that $50 discount, and you made that $94 down payment, you still agreed to pay them $485.92. You only started out with 41 something. How come?
Oh, I don't know, honey. You figure it out.
Oh, I see. It's all down here. I don't believe it, but it's right here. Baby, do you know what you're paying in insurance and service charges on this so-called sales contract?
Do you have to tell me?
Believe me, baby, this hurts me as much as it does you. On your balance of $337.90, they've rooked you for $134.82 for interest and insurance.
All that?
Baby, listen.
Oh,
baby.
What?
How much are you supposed to pay a month?
Oh, $26.99.
Let me figure a minute. $26.99 into $337.90 into $134.82 is $33.90. Oh, no.
Oh, I...
Oh, yes. Now, baby, stop crying a minute and start getting mad.
Oh,
good and mad. Do you know what kind of a rate of interest you're paying on this gosh darn coat?
No.
39% you're paying for it, that's what. Difference between 39% and that 6% we're talking about.
Oh, honey.
And do you realize how many months you got to pay that $26.99 just to pay for that service charge?
No.
5.5 months, that's what.
Oh.
$26.99 a month, you could have paid out that balance in 12 or 13 months instead of 18. 39%.
Why, why, it's an outrage, isn't it, honey?
An outrage? Oh, it's indecent. That must be some kind of a law.
Well, is there anything we can do about it,
you
think?
Must be something. Say, baby, isn't there a better business association, something like that?
Well, if there isn't, there certainly ought to be.
Now, let's look. Here, in the phone book. Okay. C-A-B-A-C-B-E-C-D-C-E-M-B-E-C. Yeah. Here it is. Better Business Bureau, 14 East Jackson Boulevard. Baby, I'm going down there tomorrow and see if there isn't some way out of this mess.
About that particular fur dealer, Mr. Chandler.
Oh, that coat's sure not the coat my wife thought it was.
Well, Mr. Chandler, an assembled Persian lamb coat is Persian lamb, but it's the trimmings around the edges of the skin and not the choicer parts. However...
But isn't that an awful lot of money for just trimming?
Well, a reputable furrier can make a very good coat out of them. But on the other hand, he wouldn't misrepresent the coat to you either. In furs, Mr. Chandler, if you pay for lower quality, you can be sure that's what you're getting.
Yeah, but it looks to me like Nora didn't get her money's worth at all.
Mr. Chandler, I know this may sound pretty harsh to you, but your wife thought, well, you both thought you were going to get, well, maybe a little more than you were paying for. About $50 more, didn't you?
Well, but Nora won that merchandise certificate on a telephone quiz.
That telephone quiz racket is to come on, Mr. Chandler. Its only purpose is to lure people into the store. When the sales lady found out your wife had one of those certificates, she immediately became very, vague, didn't she?
That's what Nora said when she remembered about it.
You see, the dealer only raises the price he quotes you enough to make up for the amount of the certificate.
Oh, gee.
You don't get anything for nothing, Mr. Chandler. Not in furs. Your wife's so-called discount wasn't a discount at all. It never is.
But Nora thought she was getting a
real... Yes, her purchase was misrepresented to her. Clear from this discrepancy between the wording on the sales ticket and the wording on the sales contract. Didn't your wife read this contract before she signed it?
Oh, I'm afraid she didn't. Nora hasn't got the best business head in the world. But gee whiz.
Well, she wouldn't agree to pay nearly 40% interest if she knew it.
Oh, of course not.
So, now you don't want to make the payments under the contract, is that it?
Finish the payments? I ought to get all the money back that Nora paid to this gyp.
Mr. Chandler, believe me, I hear stories like yours every day. You must believe this, too. I'm not happy about it. But under the laws in Illinois, there's absolutely nothing I can do at this stage of things.
Well, nothing you can do. But 39%, that's usury.
It may be morally, but Illinois has no law to protect you in this situation. Remember, your wife's purchase is correctly described on this sales contract and in the insurance policy. And she did sign both of them.
But it's so unfair.
Of course it's unfair. Taking advantage of unsuspecting consumers. And the few scheming dealers like the one your wife bought from make people think the honest dealers must be like that, too. And they suffer because of that. But your wife's name is...
On the contract. Yeah, you said that.
Exactly. I'm helpless to do anything about it, Mr. Chandler. The contract will have to be paid. It's a legal obligation.
So they got us stuck, huh? You know what I think?
I can imagine, Mr. Chandler.
There ought to be a law. That's what I think. There ought to be a law.
The only protection you have against an experience like Nora and Jack Chandler's in Chicago is never patronize any fur dealer but one of the highest repute. Distrust all furriers who claim that they always undersell all competition, for no furrier can do this honestly and stay in business. Don't be fooled into thinking that you're going to get twice or half again the value that you pay for. The furrier who tries to make you think you'll get something for nothing misleads you. Glamorous, expensive-looking furs are expensive, and never doubt it, the more glamorous and beautiful the fur, the more expensive it is. Never allow yourself to think you're going to get one of those high-priced ones for less than you should pay, because you won't get it, sucker. You won't get it.
Tonight's script was written by Christine Squire and was based on information secured in cooperation with the Better Business Bureau of Chicago. All characters were fictitious, and any resemblance to any person living or dead is purely coincidental. Harry Elders was the narrator. Lorette Philbrant and Russ Reed were Nora and Jack Chandler. Other members of the cast were Marianne Bertrand, Carlton Cadell, and Alma Platt. Hello, Sucker is produced by Judith Waller, with direction by John Cowan. Special music written by Emil Soderstrom and Richard Shores, played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Sound by Tom Evans, engineering by Robert Becker. John Conrad speaking. Next week, Hello, Sucker reveals the racket which utilized the so-called home demonstration. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.